Funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christus Spahn Health System, the largest not-for-profit healthcare system in South Texas. With 6 hospital campuses, Christus Spahn Health System provides over $55 million in charity care and $10 million in unbilled community services every year to the 13 counties it serves. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, whose philanthropy serves the Catholic Church across the state.
Welcome to Corpus Christi Cathedral's Sunday Mass, where the gospel of Christ is shared among us, and through the Holy Spirit, our souls will flourish in our daily lives. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist, live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And with your spirit.
Brethren, let us acknowledge our sins, and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mystery. I confess to Almighty God, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do. Through my most grievous fault. Therefore, I ask Blessed Mary, Ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
O God, who through your word reconcile the human race to yourself in a wonderful way, grant, we pray, that with prompt devotion and eager faith, the Christian people may hasten toward the solemn celebrations to come. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
A reading from the book of Joshua. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have removed the reproach of Egypt from you." While the Israelites were encamped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, they celebrated the Passover on the evening of the 14th of the month. On the day after Passover, they ate of the produce of the land in the form of unleavened cakes and parched grain. On that same day after Passover, on which they ate of the produce of the land, the manna ceased. No longer was there manna for the Israelites, who that year ate of the yield of the land of Canaan. The word of the Lord.
Taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Taste and see the goodness of the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. Praise of him is always in my mouth. In the Lord my soul shall make its boast. The humble shall hear and be glad. Taste and see. Glorify the Lord with me. Together let us praise his name. I sought the Lord and he answered me. From all my terrors he set me free. Taste and see. Toward him and be radiant. Let your faces not be abashed. This lowly one called, the Lord heard and rescued him from all his distress. Taste and see.
A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, whoever is in Christ is new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. And all this is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and given us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. So we, as ambassadors of Christ, as if God were appealing through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who did not know sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The word of the Lord.
Glory to you, Word of God, Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to you, Word of God, Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to you. I will get up and go to my father and shall say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you.
Glory to you, Word of God, Lord Jesus Christ.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus, but the Pharisees and the scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them Jesus addressed this parable. A man had two sons, and the younger son said to his father, "Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me." So the father divided the property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set out to a distant country, where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend the swine. And he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but nobody gave him any. Coming to his senses, he thought, "How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat? But here I am, I'm dying of hunger. I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers.' So he got up and went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son.' But his father ordered his servants, 'Quickly bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fattened calf and slaughter it. Then let us celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.' Then the celebration began. Now the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what this might mean. The servant said to him, 'Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf, because he has him back safe and sound.' He became angry, and when he refused to enter the house, his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, 'Look, all these years I served you, and not once did I disobey your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when your son returns, you swallowed up your property with prostitutes. For him, you slaughtered the fattened calf.' He said to him, 'My son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today our Lord tells one of his most beautiful parables. Charles Dickens once called it the most touching story in literature. Even the Pharisees softened under its spell. There was a boy who ran away from home, got into trouble, and decided to go back. He had gone out in quest of life, but had made an awful mess of things. And now he was willing to trade his cherished freedom for a job. So he started home, and on the way he makes up his speech. "Father, I have sinned. I no longer am worthy to be your son. Make me a hired servant." But when the boy got close to home, he discovered that someone was looking and longing and running to meet him. And the speech that he had planned was smothered in the embraces of his waiting father. "Bring him a robe, put sandals on his feet, kill the fatted calf." Thus, the return of the prodigal triggered a joyful celebration. Now, this would have been the perfect place for our Lord to have stopped the story. Right at this point, all of the people were wiping the tears from their eyes and nodding their heads in approval. But our Lord did not stop there. He went on to point out that there is more than one kind of sin and more than one kind of sinner. There are the sins of the far country and the sins of the Father's house. There are the sins of the flesh and the sins of the spirit. There are the sins of passion and the sins of disposition. The elder brother had some qualities that we very much admire. He was decent, industrious, thrifty. And yet the entire 15th chapter of St. Luke's Gospel is geared towards rebuking the attitudes of this respectable man. Christ is saying that it is possible to be religious and still be wrong, to be correct, but to be cold, to be righteous, but to be repulsive. It is possible to be a good man with a bad disposition. So our gospel reading boils down to a simple question. What about our disposition? Does our relationship with Christ include that? Has it made us any sweeter, any kinder, any easier to live with? Maybe we've never thought about it, but we can be certain that the people who live with us have. Let's consider first the curse of a bad disposition. And I use the word curse here deliberately because we need to face the seriousness of this matter and understand that we are not dealing with something trivial. Look at the elder brother. His bad disposition destroyed two very important things in his life. One was his happiness. Our Lord stated it rather pointedly. He was angry. That was the tenor and the tone of his days, hostility. Gone was the smile from his face. Gone was the song from his heart. Life had lost its luster, not because he was sick, not because he was impoverished, not because he dissipated himself with drugs and sex and alcohol, but simply because his attitude was all wrong. I've known Christians like that, and so have you. What a tragedy when the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. Have we ever stopped to consider that it is probably as great a sin to come to church grouchy on a Sunday morning as it is to get drunk on Saturday night? The second thing that he lost was his usefulness. He would not go in. He refused to participate in the celebration, but just stood by, sour and pouting. There was a lot of work to be done that day. The place was teeming with activity. Servants were hurrying here and there. The father moving in and out among them with a smile on his face, looking at details. But the elder brother stood there doing nothing. It wasn't that he lacked the opportunity or the capability. The problem was that his bad disposition had rendered him incapable of service. My friends, never forget. The sins of the Spirit can negate our Christian usefulness and cancel out our Christian influence as quickly as any of the sins of the flesh. For example, a clerk in a small town might say to the pastor, "I know she's a member of the church and one of our largest contributors, but she's the most difficult person to wait on whoever comes in this store." A traveling salesman might say, "Well, I know he's on the parish council and is an active member of the church. So far as I know, he's honest. But in the business world, it would be easier to get along with the devil himself." A young person might say, "Well, I am convinced that my father would have become a Christian a long time ago had it not been for the nagging and the complaining of my mother." Make no mistake, a bad disposition is a tragic curse in any life. Now consider for a moment the cause of a bad disposition. At times, we recognize these unlovely traits in ourselves. The question is, why? What happens? What brings them about? There are several suggestions in the story of the elder brother. The first and the most obvious is self-centeredness. The most prominent words in the man's vocabulary were "I" and "me" and "mine." Seemingly, he had no thought for his brother, his father, or anyone else. He was totally egocentric. Everything centered in his self. And when we get honest, we know that this is the soul and the substance of most of our spiritual problems and sins. We have not yet learned what it means to deny one's self and take up the cross. A second source of his problem was his distorted sense of values. Here he is complaining to his father, "You never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends." Think of it, a grown man pouting about a party. How distorted our values can become. Someone has pointed out that you can shut out the light of the sun with a penny if you hold it close enough to your eye. Life can get smothered by such little insignificant things when we grasp and hold our petty grievances. There's one other thing as a source of the elder brother's problem: his false pride. Listen to him as he pleads his case to his father. "These many years I have served you, and I have never broken your commandment at any time." See his problem? He was proud of himself. Here was a man thinking in terms of what he deserved. In spiritual matters, it is always a very dangerous thing to move from the ground of grace to the ground of merit. Nowhere at any time is our relationship with God based on his indebtedness to us. For even when we have done and given our best, we are still hopelessly in debt to his grace. We've considered the curse and the cause. Now let's look briefly at the cure for a bad disposition. It's found in the last part of the parable. And there lies a truth which should alter our attitudes and convert our dispositions forever. "Son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours." The abundant provision and the abiding presence of our Lord. How easily we forget. There are some homes in our country which practice an unusual custom at mealtime. In setting the table, they always provide an extra place, one more than is needed. There will be an extra chair, an extra plate, cup, and saucer, an extra set of utensils. And if you inquire as to the reason for all this, they will explain that it's to remind them of the presence of their unseen guest. We don't need to imitate this unusual procedure, but I do know that by some means, we all need to be reminded of the abiding presence of our Lord. Such an awareness would make a measurable difference in the quality of our lives. Can you imagine standing in the presence of the one who, though he was rich, yet for our sakes became poor? The one who had not a place to lay his head. Can we imagine standing in that presence and complaining about our difficult lot in life? Can we look into his face and see the marks of the thorns on his brow and the scars in his hands and complain that someone's hurt my feelings? If we cultivate a consciousness of living in the presence of Christ, I'm convinced we would live with less gloom and less self-pity, less pettiness, less sulking and pouting, less unkindness, less temper tantrums. For in His presence, we want to be at our best. And if only we would realize we are in His presence all the time. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Let us stand and profess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We have been reconciled to God in Christ, and so we pray to God for all the world.
That our church open wide the doors of welcome and reconciliation, so that all may know the love of God, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For peace with justice in the countries of the Middle East, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those preparing for the Easter sacraments, especially those among us, that they may rejoice in God's reconciling love, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That all who encounter us during this Jubilee Year of Mercy know the reconciling love of God through us, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who serve in our armed forces and for their families and loved ones, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the intentions of this Mass, for the eternal repose of the souls of the deceased members of the Mew family, Dorothy and Barney O'Lavin, Cardio Rivera, Frank Garza Jr., and Monsignor Rory Dean, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Now, my dear friends, for all the prayers that we hold in the silence of our own hearts. For all of our needs, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer. Let us pray. O God, every day you show us the extravagance of your love. Graciously hear these our prayers and grant them through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. Let us pray. We place before you with joy these offerings, which bring eternal remedy, O Lord, praying that we may both faithfully revere them and present them to you as is fitting for the salvation of all the world. Through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. And just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks. Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, by the mystery of the Incarnation, he has led the human race that walked in darkness into the radiance of the faith, and has brought those born in slavery to ancient sin through the waters of regeneration to make them your adopted children. Therefore, all creatures of heaven and earth sing a new song in adoration, and we with all the host of angels cry out and without end acclaim.
You are indeed holy, O Lord, and all you have created rightly gives you praise. For through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy. And you never cease to gather a people to yourself, so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name. Therefore, O Lord, we humbly implore you, by the same Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. For on the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing,
and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. For this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me."
The mystery of faith.
Therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection and ascension into heaven, and as we look forward to his second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look, we pray, upon the oblation of your church, and recognizing the sacrificial victim by whose death you will to reconcile us to yourself, grant that we who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son and filled with his Holy Spirit may become one body, one spirit in Christ. May he make of us an eternal offering to you, so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with blessed Joseph, her spouse, with your blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, and with all the saints on whose constant intercession in your presence we rely for unfailing help. May this sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and salvation of all the world. Be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth, with your servant Francis, our Pope, and Michael, our Bishop, his brother bishops Edmund and Renee, the order of bishops, all the clergy, and the entire people you have gained for your own. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family, whom you have summoned before you. In your compassion, O merciful Father, gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world. To our departed brothers and sisters, and to all who are pleasing to you at their passing from this life, give kind admittance to your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory, through Christ our Lord, through whom you bestow on the world all that is good.
Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. At the Savior's command and formed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father,
deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom of our
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you," look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you for joining us this morning for this live broadcast of the Sunday Liturgy. May you and all who are dear to you always be blessed in the gift of God's love, peace, and joy, and know that all of you remain in our prayers. And may Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by the generosity of Christus Spahn Health System, providing more than $6,000 of charity care every hour of every day to the residents of South Texas. More specific information is available on the web at christusspahn.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of this broadcast and their many other ministries and services to the people of South Texas. If you've been blessed by this broadcast and would like to support the Cathedral TV Mass Ministry, consider sending a tax-deductible contribution to the address on your screen. The Cathedral Sunday Mass is a ministry of the Corpus Christi Cathedral and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.